It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A new poll finds that age would be a problem if President Joe Biden wins re-election next year. That same poll from Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, it asks respondents about the first words that come to mind for each candidate. For former President Donald Trump, it's words like corrupt and crooked. As we discuss politics on Capitol Hill, call in with a question, share what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Manu Raju is CNN's chief congressional correspondent. Manu got a start in media working on the student newspaper at his alma mater, UW-Madison. Manu, welcome back to Wisconsin and welcome to the Ideas Network.
It's so great to be here, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the fake elector scheme and comments from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Said the 10 Republicans who signed fake elector paperwork in Wisconsin shouldn't be prosecuted. And Johnson said they were engaging in constitutionally protected political activity. How unusual are the cases around the nation involving alternate slates of electors in an effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election?
Well, it's totally unprecedented what we've seen here, both what's happened in Georgia, what's happened in the federal case, and trying to alleging that the former president, his associates were involved in this racketeering scheme, conspiracy to overturn the presidential election in 2020. The fake electors are all part of that broader effort, the prosecutors allege, to essentially defraud the nation on January 6th, on the day of the counting of the votes, and have these electors essentially vote for Donald Trump in some of these key states, not Joe Biden, even though Joe Biden was the victor, state certified, elected, won these states. That is totally unprecedented, something we've not seen in history before. Johnson himself is in a bit of an unusual position. You'll recall that the January 6th Select Committee came up with some evidence showing that there was some discussions with Senator Johnson's office to try to pass off some of these fake electors to Vice President Mike Pence on the day of the counting of the votes. Johnson has repeatedly said, downplayed his involvement, said that there was nothing to it. There was just a phone call. He has pushed back on all of that. But his involvement on this has got some attention from the January 6th Select Committee. Has not been part of the criminal case, but still the criminal case unprecedented. And we'll see if it does, in fact, go to trial before the November 2024 elections.
As you look at the states that had these fake certificates, do you think in Wisconsin that the group of Wisconsin Republicans who signed the paperwork will face any criminal charges? What might our attorney general do?
Yeah, those are all still open questions. These investigations are still ongoing, as we know, as we've seen, at least in the federal case, that the grand jury has interviewed additional witnesses in the aftermath of the indictment being unsealed against the former president. So it's hard to exactly say what additional charges may come to pass, because these proceedings happen behind closed doors, and sometimes there are superseding indictments that include additional information, additional evidence, additional charges. We saw that separately in the Mar-a-Lago documents case, where there was additional charges that the prosecutor filed in that case involving the former president and his associates. So we'll see what happens in the federal election case, which of course is just one of the four criminal cases facing the former president.
And it's hard to not turn away from the fact that this is all bumping up against the 2024 election cycle as it starts to heat up, as we see the first debate in Milwaukee for the Republicans. What do you make of that timing as these charges hit?
Yeah, the timing is interesting because we don't know the impact that this will have on the former president in the long term. So far, they've had very little on the primary electorate. We've seen that, in fact, that Donald Trump's support has increased in the primary as he's faced these charges, even though he is still a very weak general election candidate, and these charges don't help him in a general election, that's for certain. The challenge for in folks who are trying to go after Trump is that a lot of these views are just of Donald Trump are just baked into the electorate. People who don't like Donald Trump don't like Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump. People who love Donald Trump, they love Donald Trump. He's an incredibly polarizing figure, perhaps the most polarizing figure of our lifetime. So even with new information, new damaging information, potentially an unprecedented conviction of a former president, it's unclear how much that will actually move the electorate. But I think regardless of all this, Trump is still a weak general election candidate, given how much he turns off voters, particularly in the suburban areas, among educated voters in the suburbs, typically voters, a lot of them who have been Republican-leaning voters, more moderate voters. Those voters have been put off of Trump, not just even before all these criminal charges. So it's hard to see how he wins those critical blocks of voters back for a general election. But that may not make a difference in the primary, which goes underscores the Republicans' larger problem, is that Trump seems likely at the moment to get the nomination, despite all of this, even as he could be a very weak candidate against Biden, who himself has his own problems in a general election.
Let's turn our attention now to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. You and your CNN colleagues are reporting that McCarthy and other Republican leaders are discussing an impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. What would House Republicans have to gain or lose by impeaching Biden?
Well, it's a huge risk because only Biden would be just the fourth president in American history to be impeached. Donald Trump was the only president to be impeached twice. And of course, there was Clinton before him, and there's Andrew Johnson way, way, way before Clinton. So this is an incredibly rare thing. And political backlash, you saw what happened to Clinton after his impeachment. He got more popular, and that is going to be something that they weigh. So that's the politics of it. Then you have to look at the substance and the votes. So first on the votes, in order to actually launch an impeachment inquiry, there are two ways you can actually investigate and to determine whether a president should be charged with high crimes or misdemeanors. You can actually have the investigation, or you can have a vote to launch the investigation. That debate is still ongoing within Kevin McCarthy's office at this moment, whether to actually have a vote to launch an impeachment inquiry. If they do, that could put a lot of their members in a difficult spot. But if they don't, then they'll be criticized for not moving forward through the normal process as they promised to do on an investigation as significant as this. So he could only lose 4 Republican votes on any party line vote, and there are 18 Republicans who come from districts that Joe Biden won, and many of them are squeamish about going down that route. So it's uncertain he has the votes to even launch an impeachment inquiry, let alone charge the president with committing high crimes or misdemeanors, a very, very serious charge. So then there's the substance of it. So what the Republicans have found out so far is that Hunter Biden, the president's son, tried to use his relationships with his dad to improve his foreign business dealings and the like. They've gotten some information on that regard. What they have not established is that whether Joe Biden took any official action to benefit his son, or whether he benefited financially from his son's decisions and the like. There's a lot of questions, but they have now established perhaps their most serious allegation here. So the question is, can they establish it? If they don't establish that, will they still impeach him? And if they still move forward to try to impeach him without proving some of the central allegations here, will that be enough to convince some of their squeamish moderates who are difficult races to vote to impeach the president? So those are all complicated things. And the Democrats say this is all in trumped up charges that have no basis in reality, conspiracy chasing to try to hurt Joe Biden or try to help turn the focus away from Donald Trump's legal problems. So that is their argument, which we'll hear almost certainly intensify as this heats up when they get back into session next month.
Manu Raju with us, chief congressional correspondent at CNN, as we take a look at national politics and hear from you with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Manu, the Republican House Freedom Caucus threatens a government shutdown at the end of September as a means to further its agenda. What would this kind of shutdown mean for government-funded services?
It would be a huge problem. Only essential services would be allowed to continue. Things such as everything from national parks to people who work for federal government agencies. Parks could be closed. People may not get their paychecks on time. And every government service you can imagine would be shut down. We've seen this happen before. It happened during the Trump administration. It happened under Barack Obama. It happened under Bill Clinton. And the question is, does it happen now? So there are some key deadlines that are coming up. September 30th is the deadline that they have to reach to pass in government funding legislation to avoid a shutdown. They almost certainly will not be able to approve new funding legislation that sets the funding levels across the federal government, everything from State Department to the Pentagon to ag programs to energy programs. They won't be able to reach a deal on the new funding levels by September 30th. But they'll try to pass a continuing resolution, essentially extending current government funding. There's still a question about whether they can even pass a short-term continuing resolution to keep the government operating probably until early December. One big reason why is there's a dispute about whether or not to include more money for Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Republicans are divided over that subject. The White House is pushing it hard. Senate Republican leaders are pushing it hard. House Republicans are much more skittish about that. So that's a big question mark how they deal with that issue. But even if they do pass a short-term extension, the bigger problem on how to fund the rest of the government for the rest of the year is still unresolved.
Still lingering out there. Yeah,
still lingering. And this is the reason why you mentioned the Freedom Caucus is because a deal that was cut between the Speaker and the White House to raise the national debt limit, remember that, to avoid the first ever default, they reached a deal to actually set government funding levels for the new coming year, this issue. But McCarthy since then has backed away from that deal under pressure from his far right, who wants to cut spending even further. And that has divided Republicans. Senate Republicans are opposed to that effort by McCarthy. Senate Democrats are, the White House is. But the House Republicans say that more funding needs to be cut. And that is the crux of the dispute right now and a real reason why there are serious concerns about a shutdown in the fall.
Manu Raju, chief congressional correspondent at CNN, briefing us on politics as we head into the fall. And the latest from Capitol Hill, you can be part of the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or a comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the 2024 election cycle starts to heat up with former President Donald Trump at the top of a crowded GOP field and Democrats prepared to back President Joe Biden, we look to Capitol Hill for developments. And you can be part of the discussion, calling in with a question, sharing a concern at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Manu Raju with us, chief congressional correspondent at CNN. Manu, looking at this new poll by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Research, the respondents using words including corrupt and dishonest to describe former President Trump and old and confused to describe President Biden. How do lawmakers respond to such unflattering portraits of the leaders of their parties?
Yeah, look, I mean, not many members are very excited about their choices for president on Capitol Hill. Yes, you have diehards in both parties who do support their top of their ticket. Their leadership is publicly supporting the top of their ticket, especially on the Democratic side. But if you push them a little further, they know, if we talk about the Democrats first, they know that Joe Biden is very vulnerable. And it's one of the things that they are very concerned about, even with the prospects of facing Donald Trump, who is himself historically unpopular and has all these problems. They know that Biden is become a weaker candidate. Questions about his age. There's questions about what will happen on the campaign trail, whether he can pull it off. So there is just a lot of uncertainty among the Democrats. And then the Republicans are just divided over Donald Trump. You have folks who are very close to him on the far right of the House Republican Conference, and among some Republicans as well. Senate Republican leaders want nothing to do with Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell, for instance, has made clear he wants to move on from the Trump era. He does not want to talk about Trump. He knows he blames Trump for costing them the Senate majority in the last midterm election. So that is a real concern. But then you put someone like Kevin McCarthy, the House Speaker, he needs Trump's support to help him stay in power as the Speaker of the House. And that is what drives his calculation, how he deals with the former president. So he's trying to stay close with the former president despite all of his problems.
Turning our attention for a moment to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, abruptly stopped speaking, froze in front of news cameras yesterday, a similar incident in July, and you had reported McConnell has fallen twice this year. To what extent should elected officials be questioned about their physical fitness to hold public office?
Yeah, they absolutely should, especially since they are holding these key positions. They represent millions of constituents, and people need to know what we are seeing and what whether they can hold on to the job. Mitch McConnell, his health scares have prompted a lot of questions about whether he can continue to lead the Senate. His office and his allies say that he is fine. They have not provided any real explanation about what exactly happened and why he froze yesterday and also in July. They say that he was, quote, lightheaded, but don't give any reason other than why he was lightheaded or provide any sort of underlying reason for that. The question for McConnell is going to be, how long does he stay as Republican leader beyond this current Congress? He's made clear he plans to stay until the end of next year. But what will he do after that? That is really the big question on Capitol Hill. He is the longest serving party leader in history. He has had such a profound impact on our politics, everything from the Supreme Court to how Republicans have handled the Trump and Obama and some of the key policy issues. He's still a staunch advocate for aid for Ukraine, something he's pushing for right now. So if he were to step aside, it would have major ramifications for the Republican Party, how they handle the current president or a new president after the 2024 elections. And that is just going to be the big question, particularly after this recent health scare and him having a concussion in March and his repeating episodes of falling that have all caused questions about how long he can stay on the job.
You've also reported that U.S. Senator Joe Manchin may change his party affiliation from Democrat to independent and run as a third-party candidate for president. If the West Virginia senator does this, how would it affect national politics?
Yeah, that is a Manchin is a curious case. It is really unclear what he decides to do. He likes the attention. He wants to focus on, in his view, avoid the extremes in the two parties, bringing the two parties together. That is his larger political argument. The question for me, there's twofold. One, is he actually going to run for a third party candidate president? To me, it feels unlikely that he will do that, given there does not seem to be much of a path for a third party candidate. And then the other question, perhaps a bigger question in Congress, is whether he runs for re-election in the Senate. That is a huge question because he's probably the only Democrat who can win as a Democrat in West Virginia, a state that is very, very conservative. He has not said what he will do. If he does not run, it will almost certainly flip to the GOP. And this is a hugely contested, this is a very tightly contested fight for the overall control of the Senate. So that would greatly enhance Republicans' ability to take back control of the chamber if he decides to step aside. So even if he runs as an independent Democrat or caucuses with a Democrat, those are all questions that are still percolating out there. But Manchin's political future is a big question among a lot of his colleagues these days.
We're getting analysis on national politics with Manu Raju with us, chief congressional correspondent for CNN. You can join in with your questions about Capitol Hill, 800-642-1234. Manu, turning our attention to you, starting this fall, you'll be the new anchor of the Sunday edition of Inside Politics. How will you balance that anchor job, the anchor desk, with your continuing coverage of Capitol Hill?
That's a good question. One that my family asks me every day. You know, I thank you for the plug. I am, yes, on Sundays, this will be at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, starting in the fall. September 24th is our first day of our new show. I will still be on Capitol Hill every day reporting on the news that's happening. And my goal and hope is to bring new information, new reporting, new interviews to the show and help drive our discussion about where things are in politics, where things are on the campaign trail, the White House, and on Capitol Hill, really on some of the key issues, the people, the players, the power on Capitol Hill, and really try to give new insight into what's happening, stuff that people who really want to follow this stuff and care about it, I can really understand in an hour show. So I hope you all will tune in.
Thank you. Yes. We only have a few moments left, but you have said you spend a lot of time staking out the offices of congressional members. You get comments from them on the news of the day. How often do lawmakers brush you off or perhaps insult you rather than answer your questions?
Quite a bit. You have to have a thick skin in this job. There are senators only elevators in which they can hop in, hit door closed, and not let you get in the elevator. That happens quite often. You know, our job is, we are very fortunate to be in a position where we can question these members. The beauty of covering Capitol Hill is that you can ask any member, the Speaker of the House or the most low backbenching member, a question in the hallways. They don't have to answer your questions, but you can ask them a question. And that you can't do that at the White House, but you can do that on the Hill, which gives us a lot of responsibility to pose important questions to these key leaders. So, you know, more often than not, I can get answers, but you have to be ready. You have to be the right place at the right time. You have to be waiting for long hours outside offices. But when you have that opportunity, you have to take advantage of it, because otherwise a lot of these members don't want to go on the record about their views about any of the key issues or what they're doing behind the scenes. Mm. But it's our responsibility to press them on that.
Manu, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin. Manu Raju, CNN's chief congressional correspondent, alumnus of UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.